I'd like to invite you to take God's Word and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Luke and chapter 12. And for a few moments this evening, we'd like to bring a thought from this passage of God's inspired Word, Luke chapter 12. And we'll have a scripture reading this evening from verse 16 to verse 21. Perhaps a familiar passage to many, but we trust that the Lord will speak to us and the gospel will go forth this evening with Holy Spirit enabling as we read our passage. We'll begin in chapter 12 and verse 16. The Lord Jesus here is speaking in parables, and verse 16 tells us, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Just for a few moments this evening, I'd like to speak about this very shocking and very interesting topic: when God calls you a fool. When God calls you a fool. Isn't it a shocking thing to hear from the lips of the gracious Lord Jesus Christ such a parable? A man called by God a fool. And yet there are many people, perhaps there are those here tonight, who would fit in this very category. Oh, you look very pleasant this evening, but in God's eyes, a fool. Well, as we examine this text this evening, let's be very careful to see what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches. And the first thing we find as we examine this man is in verse 16. The Bible tells us he was a rich man and his ground brought forth plentifully. And I want you to notice this man was successful. His farm was a blessed farm. He was a successful farmer, so much so that he had not enough room to put all of his grain and all of his fruits. And what a successful man. And yet we notice the failure of success. There are many people in this world, and in the eyes of the world, they are a great success. But in the eyes of God, they're a tragic failure. Which are you? There is a success in which the world looks at people and says, well, they've made it. They have it. I want what they have. They have power. They have money. They have popularity. They have ease. They have leisure at whatever cost they want. They can go anywhere and do anything. And yet, for those who have all of that and do not have God, they're a failure. There is a success that brings great failure, and that is a success without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. This person was a fool because he did not recognize God. He said, This is all that I have brought to myself. He was a rich man, and he thought within himself, saying in verse 17, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Here he was planting God's seeds and God's soil, and God's rain was bringing forth God's harvest, and he was breathing God's air, and he said, Look at all I've done. And there are so many people in our world like that today, aren't there? Self-made men. I'm who I am because I've pulled myself up by the bootstraps and I'm strong. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that it is God that even gives you the strength and the power to get wealth. It is by God's mercy that our heart is still beating. It is by God's grace that we still have lungs that work and minds that function. You see, when we do not recognize God in our lives, the Bible rightly says about those who do not recognize God, those people are fools. But this man also was a fool because he did not prepare for the inevitable. And there are people all around the world, there may be even in tonight's meeting, people who have prepared very well for next year. If you're a young person, you're no doubt preparing. I know some people right now are revising for examinations and getting ready, and perhaps GCSEs and other things that you'll be getting ready for this year, and then off to college or off to university, maybe an apprenticeship, and thinking about all those things. And you wouldn't just blindly go day by day through life and let it happen to you.
You'd plan. You'd be careful. There are older folks here who are coming to retirement age, and they want to make sure they'll have the finances needed in their retirement. They'll make sure that their health is the way it should be. They'll even go on holiday and spend hours on end preparing for everything they would need to make sure they have the right flight, to make sure they have the right transportation and the right things scheduled for their leisure time. And yet so many people spend a great deal of time preparing for anything except the inevitable. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And many people make plans for here and now, but they never make plans for then." I can imagine in my mind's eye this gentleman in this parable, of course, must have known there was death coming. You know, we are reminded mercifully by God that we are finite and we are mortals and that there is an end to our lives. Every time there's a funeral, it reminds us someday it will be our name mentioned from the pulpit. Someday at the florist, they'll be designing a floral arrangement and they'll be putting the name of our family on because it'll be our floral arrangement for our funeral. The inevitable is coming. And this man was a fool because he had prepared for everything here but nothing there. He had prepared for everything now but nothing then. And I want you to know this evening, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that the greatest drastic danger you face is going off into eternity without Jesus Christ. Because we know we will meet God. And the Bible rightly tells us, prepare to meet thy God. You may never go on holiday. You may do many things. You may not do other things, but it is certain you will meet God. Are you prepared? Are you ready to meet God? This man was a fool because he did not prepare for the inevitable. And another reason this man was a fool, verse 19 tells us, "I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This man was a fool because he believed that what was here and now could satisfy him. That his soul could be satisfied with things that money could buy. That wealth and things that you could own could ever satisfy you. But the soul cannot be satisfied with things. Oh, the body can enjoy things, good food, entertainment, fun. But the soul needs Christ. And without Christ, we are hopeless. This man was a fool because he thought that everything you could buy would provide for him everything he needed. And the second thing I see in this passage is the future of sinners. Notice with me what the Bible tells us in verse 20. "But God said unto him, thou fool." What a tragic thing when God calls someone a fool. Is it out of hatred? Did the Lord Jesus Christ here desire to offend everyone he was speaking to so they would no longer hear what he had to say? No, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher who's ever walked this earth, used this word to shock people to their senses. You know, all of us know the facts about death. All of us know the facts about the finality and the finite nature of life. We all know that. But sometimes it takes a shock to get our attention. It takes something just to remind us and jolt us out of our everyday lives, our 9-to-5 work, our tasks of picking up and dropping off and driving, and our normality of life. And it takes a jolt and a shock. And here the Lord Jesus Christ uses a phenomenal term. He says about this man that God called him a fool. And no doubt that got people's attention. May I ask you, what is it in your life in recent days that God has used to get your attention? What is it? Is it a witness of a friend? Is it an invitation from someone here at this church to come even tonight and hear the gospel? Is it a tragedy? Was it something that a doctor said? What is it that God uses to jolt us to attention? Because the seeking Savior desires for people like you to come and find forgiveness and grace. That's what he does. He is at work. But the future of sinners is given to us in verse 20. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall those be which thou hast provided?" The appointment you cannot miss. Oh, you can miss doctor's appointments. You can miss hospital appointments. You can miss almost any appointment, but not this appointment. It's an inescapable one. Are you ready? Are you ready? I was speaking to a young lady not too long ago, and she was telling me how nervous she was going in to take her driving license theory test. And she was very nervous. And she said, I almost am so nervous I don't want to go in. My hands were shaking, and I was so nervous to take my theory test. And yet how many of us do not tremble at the thought that we are unprepared to meet God, that we will face eternity, forever separated from God, in the place the Bible calls hell, and yet we never even think about it. Our palms never get sweaty. A thought never comes to us to say, I'm not ready. What is wrong? The Bible says the fool in his heart has said, there is no God, and we do not acknowledge God, and we do not see that He is one we will meet, and this is an inevitable meeting we must be prepared for. This man had an appointment he could not miss, but he worked in a way for meaningless things. The Bible tells us at the end of verse 20, when he died, whose would those things be which he had provided? Everything in life you don't really own. You just are a steward of. You say, well, I own my house. Well, did you know not long after your obituary is put in the newspaper, someone else will come in and they'll take the wallpaper you picked out, they'll rip it off the walls, and they'll paint the walls a different color. The carpet you chose carefully, they'll say, that's the ugliest carpet I've ever seen. And they'll rip that out and put it in a skip out in front of the house. And they'll put new carpet down. They'll redo the bathroom. They'll redo the kitchen. And all the things that you thought were the greatest things and you spent all of your time and effort and money to do, someone else will come along and that will be their address. Your car that you think so much of and you think, this is the thing that I really want. Someday that will be put in a car crusher and it will be sent off to make molten metal somewhere. You see, all these things that we live our lives for really are finite and can never answer the greatest question and the greatest needs we have. And those are spiritual questions and the need of our soul, which is Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you here tonight, if you're without the Savior, come to know Him, because He changes people's lives. We're not speaking here about a dead religion, some formula that you follow, some list of rules of do's and don'ts. We're speaking about a Savior, the one who gave this parable, who is able to come into a person's life and to drastically change them from death to life, from darkness to light. That's what He does. And you say, how do you know? Because that's what happened in my life. Me, every Christian here tonight, you'll not find one of them that regrets knowing Jesus Christ. But you'll find in every one of them the fact that they know they've been born again by God's Spirit. Why? Because the Savior is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And He speaks to us tonight. Have you prepared to meet God? Are you ready? Or are you, as this man, as the parable gives, a fool because you're not prepared to meet the Savior? I want to notice there's a drastic difference as we come to a conclusion this evening about the things we see in this parable. I want you to notice the faith of the saved. Here is a fool who lives for the moment and is not prepared for then. Only now that matters. He's interested in what he can get and what he can gain. But the faith of the saved is seen in the later part of the chapter. Look, please, with me at verse 30. The Bible tells us, in verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What an amazing difference. Here is a man who is called by God a fool. Oh, he's wealthy in the world's goods. He has all that he needs monetarily, but he is without God. And now the Lord Jesus Christ addresses a different group, and He says to them, you that know the Savior, you're seeking the kingdom of God first. You are seeking His righteousness. You are putting His good, best, and first in your life. And you're not to fear, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I think, what a drastic change from a man who is a fool to hear people who God Himself will give the kingdom to. What made the difference? Salvation makes the difference. And I want to say to you this evening, the greatest thing I could ever say, if I had just a couple of moments to say to anyone, the most important thing I could ever say, I would say to them the good news of the gospel, that there is a Savior. The eternal God took on flesh and became a man. His name was Jesus Christ. And he lived and walked on this earth and did everything righteous and nothing sinful. And he went to the cross and he was nailed to the tree and he bled to shed his perfect blood to atone, to pay for my sin. I'm a sinner and could never pay my own sin debt. But Jesus went to the cross and paid my sin debt for me. He died in my place. The Bible tells us that he was buried and for 3 days he was in the grave. And the Word of God also tells us wonderfully, gladly, that the third day he arose from the grave and he is alive forevermore and he is willing and ready and able to save anyone who would come to him by faith for salvation. Anyone who would come to him. I'm thankful that the Bible tells us that the gospel is a whosoever will gospel. And Christ invites us to come to him. But the Bible never says that's a whensoever will gospel. The Bible makes it very clear there's urgency. There is very much urgency about trusting Christ. This man planned to have a long and happy retirement, but that night the Lord Jesus said his soul would be required of him. It's an urgent thing to trust the Savior. Do you know Christ? Oh, he makes a difference. He makes an entirely great difference in our lives when we come to know the Savior and he changes us. Have you by faith come to Christ humbly in repentance and trusted that Jesus Christ took your place? He died on the cross and he paid your sin debt and you're depending on him alone for your soul's salvation. You say, oh, that's a simple message. Yes, exactly. So simple a child can understand. So simple, anyone who desires to know the truth can come by faith to Jesus Christ. God gives us the truth and gives us this urgency. The Bible tells us that we're to seek the Lord while he may be found and to call upon him while he is near. May I say you have something very special here in this land. In this part of the world, you have the gospel preached in many places. And that's something where my wife and I work at, that is quite uncommon. In fact, you can go for many miles and not find a gospel preaching church. But here you have the gospel in many places. What have you done with the gospel? Have you believed? Have you received? I want to encourage you tonight with urgency. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May God bless his word.